The House, please come to order. Okay. Well, will the members please show their presence by voting? Has any member failed to vote? Clerk, please take the final roll.
33 members present.
Representative Anderson.
No one's excused from the call, Mr. Speaker.
Prayer today is by Pastor Milton Hunt of Resurrection Lutheran Church. Will members please rise for the prayer?
Almighty God, our Heavenly Father, we give thanks and praise for another day, a fresh week, and a new month. Direct your divine wisdom in Jesus Christ to these representatives, that they may effectively make just laws for all the people of our great land. Fill us all with your spirit, that we may move swiftly to complete our several tasks of this current session. We ask for your blessing from the one holy, eternal God. Amen.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the prayer be spread on the journal.
There's no objection. The prayer will be spread in the journal. Will the Chief Clerk please certify as correctness the previous day's journal?
As Chief Clerk, I certify as to the correctness of the journal for the 139th day in House Supplement number 82.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the journal for the 139th day in House Supplement number 82 be approved as certified by the Chief Clerk.
If there's no objection, the journal and the journal supplement will stand approved. Are there guests for introduction to the House this morning? Messages from the Governor.
Dear Mr. Speaker, I read the following resolutions and signed the following bills and am transmitting the enrolled and engrossed copies to the Lieutenant Governor's office for permanent filing. House Resolution number 22, requesting the Governor to direct the Commissioner of Fish and Game to amend his designation of the region within which the Northern Southeast Regional Aquaculture Association operates by removing it from the Upper Lynn Canal area. House Resolve number 3. House Concurrent Resolution number 40, amended Senate, Alaska's right under the Statehood Act to land promised by the Act, Legislative Resolve number 31. Senate Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 65, amended Senate, requesting the Governor to urge the United States Department of Labor to establish a Job Corps Center in the state, Legislative Resolve number 32. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Concurrent Resolution 59, Workers' Compensation, Legislative Resolve number 33. House Concurrent Resolution 69, amended Senate, requesting the Alaska Commercial Fisheries Entry Commission to investigate the possibility of creating a separate administrative area for the Aleutian Islands. Legislative Resolve 35. Second House Committee Substitute for Senate Joint Resolution Number 2, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to disqualification of legislators, Legislative Resolve 25. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 561, amended House, professional licensing and to the regulation of dentists and dental hygienists, and providing for an effective date, Chapter 49. House Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 519, Alaska Commercial Fishing and Agriculture Bank, effective date, Chapter 51. Committee Substitute for House Bill 550, amended, transfer to certain municipalities of the responsibility of the Department of Transportation and Public Facilities for Traffic Control Systems, effective date, Chapter 52. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 287, Judiciary, amended, civil liability for shoplifting, effective date, Chapter 53. Committee Substitute for Senate Bill 562, Formation of Coastal Resource Service Areas, effective date, Chapter 48, assigned sincerely, J.S. Hammond, Governor. I have no further messages from the Governor, Mr. Speaker.
Messages from the Senate.
The Senate has concurred in the House amendment, thus adopting Senate Bill 578, amended House, practice of chiropractic, effective date. The Senate has passed the following and they are returned. Committee Substitute for House Bill 879, limited entry permits. Committee Substitute for House Joint Resolution 20, amended, proposing an amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska relating to the appointment and confirmation of members of state boards and commissions. These two have been sent to enrolling. The Senate passed Committee Substitute for House Bill 644, amended, creating the Alaska Statehood Commission with the following amendment. Senate Committee Substitute for Committee Substitute for House Bill 644, same title, and it is transmitted for consideration. The Senate has failed to recede from its amendment to committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 836 amended, use of state fish and game resources by aliens and non-residents, namely Senate committee substitute for committee substitute for sponsor substitute for House Bill 836. The President appointed the following free conference committee: Senator Rohde, Chairman, Senator Dankworth, Senator Bennett. The House members have already been appointed. I have no further messages from the Senate, Mr. Speaker.
Communications.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of standing committees.
The Committee on Rules has had Senate Bill 26 relating to credited service under public employees' retirement system under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 26 and reports it back with individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, signing Dupass, Cotton, Miller, and Anderson, signing no recommendation, Hayes and Phillips. Fiscal notes are attached too. Senate Bill 26 has no further referral.
House, please stand at ease.
Is that 75-page?
Senate Bill 26 on retirement systems does have a substantial fiscal note, will be referred to the Finance Committee. Further committee reports.
The Committee on Resources has had House Concurrent Resolution 75 approving the Second Amendment to the Agreement for the Sale and Purchase of State Royalty Oil between the State of Alaska and the Alpetco Company under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, co-chairman, signing do pass, Miles, Osterbach, Cotton, Chatterton, Halford, Fuller, and Eliason. Having no recommendation, Jaroff, signing do not pass, Carney. House Concurrent Resolution number 75 has a further referral to Finance. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 relating to insurance for alcoholism and drug dependence under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for committee substitute for Senate Bill 227 Finance and reports it back with individual recommendations and a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, signing Dupass, Meekins, Rogers, and Guy. Signing no recommendation, Meekins, Duncan, signing Dupass, McKinnon, Rogers, and Guy. Signing no recommendation, Meekins, Duncan, Moss, and Montgomery. Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 227 has no further referral. The Committee on Resources has had House Bill 1039 approving the Second Amendment to the Agreement for the Sale and Purchase of State Royalty Oil between the State of Alaska and the Alpetco Company under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miles, Chairman, concurred in by Miles, Osterbach, Cotton, Chatterton, and Fuller. Halford signed do pass by stock. Signing no recommendation, Jaroff. Signing do not pass, Carney. House Bill 1039 has a further referral to Finance.
House, please stand at ease. Clerk, continue with standing committee reports.
I have no further standing committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Reports of special committees.
The Free Conference Committee, which has had House Bill 60 and House Bill 560 amended Senate under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 560 GO bonds in the amount of $18,787,500 for the purpose of paying the cost of energy conservation, code upgrade, and architectural barrier removal for state facilities effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Tillian, Chairman, Coletta, and Ferguson. By the House members, Rogers, Chairman, Schaefer, and Branson. The Free Conference Committee, which has had CSHB 689 Finance and Senate CSHB 689 Rules under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute House Bill 689 GO bonds $33 million for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for water and sewer systems, solid waste facilities, and village safe water facilities effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Tillian, Chairman, Coletta, and Ferguson. By the House members, Rogers, Chairman, Schaefer, and Branson. The Free Conference Committee, which has had CSHB 691 and SCS CSHB 691 under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute House Bill 691, GO bonds $7,718,800 for the purpose of paying the cost of capital improvements for fisheries facilities effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Tillian Chairman, Coletta, and Ferguson, by the House members, Rogers Chairman, Schaefer, and Branson. The Free Conference Committee, which has had CSHB 752 Finance and CSHB 752 Finance Amended Senate under consideration, recommends that Free Conference Committee substitute for House Bill 752, GO bonds $20 million for the purpose of paying the cost of cultural facilities effective date be adopted. The report was signed by the Senate members, Tillian Chairman, Coletta, and Ferguson, by the House members, Rogers Chairman, Schaefer, and Branson. These bills are being duplicated and will be on your desks. I have no further Free Conference Committee reports, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction of citations and resolutions.
No, Mr. Speaker.
Introduction, first reading, reference of House bills.
I have none, Mr. Speaker.
Brings us to consideration of the daily calendar. Will the clerk please read the first item?
Senate Bill 32 by the Rules Committee by request of the Governor. An act adopting the Interstate Corrections Compact and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Hess has had Senate Bill 32 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 32 and recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mrs. Buchholz, Chairman, concurred in by Munson, Miles, Hurlburt, and Buchholz. Having no recommendation, Barnes and Chatterton. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Hess Committee substitute for Senate Bill 32 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There is objection. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I'm objecting to make a couple of comments before we move to the Hess Committee substitute. I note on the calendar that that at the top it says an act adopting the Interstate Corrections Compact, and then of course below in parentheses is the Hess Committee title. I assume that's the new title. I think that's what was just read by the Majority Leader. But the question, Mr. Speaker, is it your ruling that this procedure is proper and legal? The reason I'm asking, if it's not, or if it's in that gray area or the twilight zone, I think we might be setting some dangerous precedent. I'd just like to hear your opinion.
There's several rules that apply to changing bills. One rule is the two-subject rule. And this bill does not present a problem with the two-subject rule problem because there's only one subject in either proposed version of the bill. Then there's the issue of germaneness, and the rules provide that an amendment must be germane to the bill or the section or the title. And the issue of germaneness is an issue left up to the determination of the body. It's not something the presiding officer has under his power or can rule on. And the issue, while the two-subject rule is a constitutional issue and one that could be raised in court, the issue of germaneness is one, at least at this point in history, it's subject to the body. If the question of germaneness is not raised, then there isn't an issue of germaneness. And if there was an issue raised, then there would be a vote of the body to determine whether the proposed amendment is germane. A committee substitute is the same as an amendment. It is an amendment to the bill. Representative Hayes.
What would be the procedure on that, Mr. Speaker? If I object to the bill on the basis of germaneness, so would you make a ruling and then we would vote on your ruling?
No, I wouldn't make a ruling under the rules. I don't know if I have it right here. I'd read it. Why don't we stand at ease? House, please stand. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I had some discussion with one of the members of the body during the at ease on how to make a motion on this, and I think perhaps this is a correct motion. I'm going to make it, and if not, I'll try it a different way. But, Mr. Speaker, I move that the amendment is germane and ask the members to vote no.
The issue of germaneness of the amendment, which is the Hess Committee substitute to Senate Bill number 32, has been raised. The question for the body will be as to whether the amendment, which is the committee substitute, is germane to the bill. The it'll take 21 votes to sustain whether the fact that the amendment is germane. So a yes vote would be a vote in favor of the germaneness of the amendment. A no vote would be a vote saying that the amendment is not germane. Representative Rogers, House, please stand. Will the House please come to order? The question before the body is whether the proposed amendment, which is the Health and Education and Social Service Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 32, is germane. Representative Brown.
Is the motion debatable?
Yes. Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, my situation is that I would like to vote for the bill. And I haven't, at least during the at ease, heard a persuasive argument that the amendment is germane, but I have an open mind. If somebody can make that argument, anything that I can hang my hat on, I can vote that way. So there you are, you know. You can vote here if you can make it.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Of course, the way I read the rule 402 is that number four says an entirely new proposal may be submitted by amendment so long as it is germane to the main purpose of the original proposal, and perhaps somebody can determine that there is a similar purpose in addressing both of these types of institutions. I'm not sure that that it's a very tight connection. One of the problems I have is that we've passed several bills this year that probably fall into this category of being able to be questioned. And in fact, yesterday or the day before, we had an appropriations bill that had been changed to deal with driving while under the influence of alcohol. And it's curious that some people choose to question the germaneness of one bill but not another, and I suppose that means that should mean that two wrongs don't make a right, or if you don't like it, you'll question it, but if it's okay, you won't. I know myself that there were two bills that were returned from the other body that, upon a decision over there, they were decided not to be germane, and of course, one of them was an appropriations bill, which it would have been very legal to change the issue on, and the other one had to do with a controversial subject that I admitted had a slim thread, but a thread of germaneness. So I feel a little hypocritical to stand up and say, no, this is absolutely not germane, or it's only close, but it's okay for me to do it. Or it's okay for other bills that have already passed to go ahead and forget about those, but let's start making an exception here. So I think it's a close question. Perhaps there is a connection that somebody would like to describe. I think it's pretty distant, but it may be there, and I think it's just a matter of whether you want the bill or not because of the precedent that's already been set this session.
Representative Lyason.
Mr. Speaker, I think I'd favor the bill myself. However, I think the point is that we're totally bypassing the committee system by using these tactics, by tacking this bill onto a Senate bill and sending it back to the Senate for concurrence. None of the Senate committees get a chance to look at it. And they're obviously doing the same thing to us. So what you're really doing, you're contributing to the erosion of the committee system. And that's a leadership problem.
Representative Buchholz.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I really hesitate to get up and have to debate whether this bill is germane, the amendment is germane or not, because like has been previously mentioned, there has been a lot of that going on around here. And I feel that I don't want to contribute to the problem. However, when we looked at the bill, we felt, at least I felt, this was my idea to put it in this particular bill from the Senate, is that I felt that there was some connection with this. Both bills spoke of facilities and human resources or human needs, and I felt that the needs of children and youth were very important, that I think there was some connection with the needs that are discussed in the compact, in the original bill. I realized that the way to look at this is to say that in providing daycare and youth centers for our children, that they will be far from reaching the facilities that are mentioned in the compact, and those are the jails. So I think it is really stretching a little bit of a point. However, there is that connection that you should not be forgotten.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, I think it's worth remembering that when the framers of the Alaska Constitution drew it up, they only put one prohibition in the Constitution, which was the two subject rule, that a bill can't be covering two different subjects. And it was a very good reason for that, as we all know. And of course, even there, they made an exception for appropriation bills. But they did not see fit to tie the hands of the legislature in doing its business. That's the only prohibition they put in of this sort. And the legislature has to move expeditiously and sometimes has to act in ways that may not be, from a political science textbook stance, the most ideal, but which do get the job done.
Representative Branson.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I just wanted to direct a question to the chair. With over 1,600 bills in the legislature, it seems to me that we could find a bill that would be germane to almost any subject we wanted to use it for.
Representative Brown.
Well, Mr. Speaker, one point I would like to make, and it doesn't address how I'm going to vote so much as this question of, is something a precedent for something else in this area? I don't think it is. As you pointed out in reading the rule, Mr. Speaker, the issue may be raised by a member and then the issue is voted on. If the issue is not raised, then the I think the presumption is in favor of germaneness on a case-by-case basis. So raising it on one and not raising it on the other does not at all necessarily establish any kind of a precedent. It's a decision for the body on a case-by-case basis. So I don't think there's any danger if perhaps this were voted not germane, that it would affect any other legislation currently in the works.
Representative O'Connell.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As I understand it, the motion deals not with what has gone on before, but with the specifics of the original of this bill and the proposed committee substitute, and I'd like to address that for just a second. Looking at Senate Bill 32 as it before us on page one of the bill, it states in two separate places, which seems enough emphasis to me, that the bill discusses programs for the confinement, treatment, and rehabilitation of offenders. That's easily understandable. There's nothing in the committee substitute proposal that talks about anything to do with offenders. If you carry that discussion into Rule 402 and the points of whether something is germane or not, it says it must be germane to the same subject. Point number two, or what do you call it, paragraph number two of section 402 in Mason's, says that to determine whether an amendment is germane, the question to be answered is whether the question is relevant, appropriate, in a natural or logical sequence to the subject matter of the original. Certainly, this committee substitute doesn't fill any of those qualifications. Paragraph three, reading on, it says it's required only to relate to the same subject, can entirely change the direction of it, but it still must relate. The proposed committee substitute in no way even brings up the subject of offenders, how you're going to treat them, what you're going to do with them. Certainly 21 votes, I suppose, by definition can make it germane, but as far as the subject is concerned, it would continue not to be germane.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I would point out that the purpose of multi-purpose youth centers, the purposes include legal assistance, counseling, and recreational and general social activities programs, tutoring and nutrition. Mr. Speaker, I think that that is an alternative to corrections, and I think one of our biggest problems, one of the reasons kids get in trouble, is that they don't have other activities. And for that reason, and for the reasons discussed by the chair of the HESS committee, I do believe this is germane, and I would urge the members to vote yes.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, one thing that we always realize when it comes down to trying to get a bill to pass is that there is one thing that that remains intact, and that is the protection of the will of the majority. And I don't necessarily mean the majority in this body, because we're the majority party, but the majority of the legislature, the majority of each house, has to vote in favor of a bill or a resolution before its final passage. And you can talk about how perfect the committee system is, and you won't make me believe that it's perfect. But one thing that is protected, and that is the will of the majority. If 21 people in this body vote that it's germane and vote for the bill, and the other body also votes in favor of if the germaneness question is raised, and in favor of the final passage of the bill in the same form, well, there you have it. I think the will of the majority is protected, and I think that's what the Constitution provides for. And I think that that any suggestion that the committee system needs to be held sacred because it's perfect, I think, is a misunderstanding of this whole system.
Representative Barnes.
Is that better? My comments were that I would not like the body to think that the questions of germaneness were raised for the first time on this bill on this floor. The question of the germaneness of this particular piece of legislation was raised in the committee. I will have to admit that we even had a few laughs about it. Thank you, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Fuller.
I just wanted to go along with Representative Rogers. If we would have better daycare centers and youth facilities, maybe we wouldn't have to provide adequate programs for confinement. I urge the body to go along with it.
Representative Martin.
So I guess if we follow the representative just spoke, and the one he referred to, that the daycare centers will be turned into jails for kids. Is that the synonymous there? The main problem here, sir, is that germaneness of the question. And what we've seen in the last 2 weeks because of this germaneness has really given the public a bad impression of this legislative session. It's just, if this thing passes, it's just another good example that they see that we are making a farce of democracy. Now, there's no doubt in my mind that the thing might pass only because the majority is going to do it that way, to back each other, right or wrong, we stick together. And that's a shame when you know you are making it, you have to really swallow on this kind of issue. So I think what's before us now, either we stop the nonsense, we're going to follow the system, the rules and regulations that the majority party lined out, stop it now, we'll continue making this a ridiculous session.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I think that we better, talk a little bit about why the issue is raised. Even if we voted not to adopt the amendment because of germaneness, I don't think that that's going to stop the practice of stripping bills, because I think as we get to the end of the session, we find it more and more convenient to do so. What really saddens me is that the particular bill has been picked out, and a particular individual could be picked out as a person who decided to take this route, and it's found objectionable by a number of people. I don't think they are in the majority that find this objectionable. I can find several words of in both bills that are the same. We have rehabilitation coming in on both bills. You're referring to institutions. And we also are talking about a majority member that wants this bill to pass. It's a good bill. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with the bill. So I think we ought to just go ahead and you know, take it to a vote and get on with it and adopt or vote for the motion made by the minority leader. I think that his vote is correct. It's a positive motion, and I think not only he but all the members of the body should vote in favor of his motion on germaneness.
Representative Miller. House, please stand at ease. What? The House, please come back to order. Representative Hayes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Before the at ease, the majority leader made some comments that I frankly have some problems with. That's putting it mildly. I think he said that this bill is being picked on and that the particular person involved in this bill is being picked on. And I read into that, and I hope I'm reading incorrectly, that perhaps there's some implication that there may be some motive that I might have or other members of this body might have with the nature of the bill or with the particular person who is pushing it. And I, if that's the case, I resent that, and I'd like to make it clear that's not the reason. It has nothing to do with it. The issue, Mr. Speaker, is the germaneness of the Hess Committee substitute. It's the first bill on the calendar. If there were another bill on the calendar, I think the issue would be brought up today. There are many of us in the minority who have observed this practice for the last few weeks, and there's been some mention that, well, there has been precedent. I think that's been addressed satisfactorily by members of your own body, that each bill stands on its own, perhaps, in terms of whether it's objected to and whether germaneness is questioned. But I think that the rules chairman alluded to the majority rule, and maybe that is another issue here, Mr. Chairman, that is developing from this debate, is whether we are going by Masons and by the uniform rules or whether majority rules. That apparently is what it's going to boil down to. I think that there's been, at least if you listen to the debate and weigh the debate based on the merits, I don't think this is a biased statement, that the nature of the debate at this point has indicated it's not germane. I think that there's a majority of the debate and those issues that have been brought out indicate that. I think the question we're going to get down to, Mr. Speaker, is this the rules under which we operate? Is it a majority rule? If it is, let's get it out on the table. Let's let the public know. And I like to add, Mr. Speaker, that I think there have been a lot of precedents set by this particular legislature, and particularly on the House side. And I would like to commend you, Mr. Speaker, for those precedents. I think that for the first time in the 4 years I've been here, and as near as I can find out, for several years before that, there has been fair treatment of the minority. I think that that, among other precedents that's been set by yourself and by the leadership on the majority side, is something that we in the minority hope to see continue regardless of who controls this body in the future. And I guess the issue here, another issue here, is what is the precedent that we're setting in this particular situation?
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think any precedent is being set by taking this action. I think one of the probably the most logical thing to do for the minority leader is for him to withdraw his motion, and so we can just vote on whether or not to adopt the committee substitute. I think what we're doing right here is, I think we're just making a farce out of supposedly bringing this up for on the basis of merit and all this other nonsense that I just heard spoken. First of all, it is not setting a precedent, Mr. Speaker. We've done it before, but it was in the interest of the minority that this be done. And that's what I think. That's what I believe, and I think that we ought to just go ahead and vote on it. If the minority leader thinks that he has to make take a position on this and then put the majority into a corner, you know, having to exert its will in voting 21, then that's what we do. And then let's do it very quickly. But I don't see anything wrong with the bill in front of us. And I think the body has a right to, under the rules, to make these changes. And if a majority feels that it is appropriate, they can do it. But I think everyone has to examine their motives. And if the motives are questionable, then I think we ought to examine those very closely and carefully. But I think that there are enough words in both bills there to show that there is germaneness, and I would argue that the bill is germane, the committee substitute is germane, and that we ought to vote yes on the motion.
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, in no way would a vote by a majority of this body that this bill is germane or is not germane be in any way a harm to the tradition about respecting the rights of the minority in parliamentary bodies. As a matter of fact, I'm relatively sure that the vote is not going to be on party lines. If we vote on the issue and it goes up or down on the issue of germaneness, we are not shoving anything down anybody's throat, whichever side of the vote you're on. We are respecting Mason's rules because the parliamentary tradition of the states, almost all of which use Mason's, is that this issue is decided by a majority vote of the body, not with the ruling of the presiding officer that is appealable. Therefore, that does not make it an organizational vote. It's not like a motion to spring a bill from a committee, for instance. And as a matter of fact, I'm going to vote no. And I would very much like to vote for this bill. If somebody can find a title that is more germane and do it again, I probably will. And it's very unfortunate I found nothing in the debate to satisfy me otherwise.
Speaker.
Representative Byrne.
Just a brief comment. I can appreciate Mrs. Buchholz's frustrations with the majority party. A lot of us share those frustrations with her. We certainly identify with her and want her to know that she doesn't stand alone. I'd like to point out to Mr. Anderson that when the rights of the minority are denied by majority vote, that's tyranny. And that's what we would have if we don't follow Mason's manual and our own rules consistently. And one last point that's good for Sunday is that if we commit these sins this year, well, then those sins might well be visited upon the next legislature.
Question. Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, there seems to be a lot of controversy on the issue of whether this is germane or not. Some people seem confused. Maybe it would be appropriate that we get an opinion from the gentleman that we pay quite a bit of money to tell us whether or not things are germane and all kinds of other things, being our legal affairs department. And I'm going to make the motion that we table the motion, holding over the bill for tomorrow's calendar, thereby holding over the bill till tomorrow's calendar, and table this motion until such time that we've received a legal opinion from Bill Barrier's office.
Point of order.
Representative Miller.
I move that we table.
Motion to table is not debatable. Motion before the body.
Brief at ease.
The House please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? House please stand at ease. The motion to table is out of order. You can't table a procedural motion. The question for the Representative Buchholz.
Mr. Speaker, let me further clarify that when I was looking for a home for this bill, we went through various motions to find one. We found out that this is an answer to one of the members. We did find out that our legal minds in employ had said that there was no problem with it. And usually they tell me that there is a problem. And I don't think that there was because they didn't write me a memo on it.
Question for the body is whether the amendment, the Hess Committee substitute, is germane. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
20 yeas, 18 nays.
The motion has failed. House, please stand at ease. The House, please come back to order. There has been some question and discussion about how many votes it takes to determine whether something is germane. I'm going to research that. So in the meantime, Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, in order to give you time to research and perhaps reconsider that ruling, I'll move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 32 be returned to the Rules Committee.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 32 will be returned to the Rules Committee. Representative Anderson, Senate Bill 239.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill 239 be moved to the bottom of today's calendar.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 239 will be moved to the bottom of today's calendar. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Bill 575, amended by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $15,987,000 in revenue bonds for international airports and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Finance has had Senate Bill 575 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Schaefer, Guy, Moss, McKinnon, Smith, and Rogers. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Bill number 575 amended be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading, and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill number 575 will be engrossed, advanced to third reading, placed on final passage. Clerk, please read the bill in third reading.
Senate Bill 575 amended by the Finance Committee. An act authorizing the issuance and sale of an additional $15,987,000 in revenue bonds for international airports and providing for an effective date.
Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. This bill authorizes revenue bonds. It's designed using the International Airport Revenue Fund. It's designed for further improvements to the Fairbanks International Airport. The three principal things, expansion of the terminal and south ramp, and extending the runway at Fairbanks International Airport. We are getting a fair amount of new traffic in there. We're running out of parking space for the larger planes, particularly freight planes, that are intercontinental planes, and that's one of the reasons also to extend the runway. The terminal facility, we're starting to run out of room as well. This would be secured by the revenues, the additional revenues we will be getting from the airport. I'd urge the members to adopt the bill.
Question before the House, final passage of Senate Bill number 575. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk Representative Zhuroff. Clerk may take final roll.
34 yeas, one nay.
The House has passed Senate Bill 575. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the roll call on the passage of Senate Bill number 575 amended be considered as a roll call for the effective date clause.
There's no objection. Roll call and final passage will be shown as a roll call on the effective date clause. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Bill 588 by the Judiciary Committee, an act continuing the existence of the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Rules has had Senate Bill 588 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 588 and recommends that it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Cotton, Chairman, concurred in by Cotton, Miller, Phillips, Hayes, and Brown. Signing do not pass unless amended, Anderson. Signing do pass if amended, Parr. I have one committee substitute on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Rules Committee substitute for Senate Bill 588 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. The Rules Committee substitute will be adopted. Are there amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker. I have amendment number one by Mr. Parr. It has been duplicated and placed on each member's desk. It starts page 1, line 28. See attached.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, may I have a brief at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Please come back to order. Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I hope the members won't be disturbed by the length of the amendment. The guts of it, if you look at the attached sheets, is where it says insert a new section 3 to read. A member, person licensed to practice law in the state may become a member of the Alaska Bar instead of shall. All the rest of the amendment, Mr. Speaker, would be simply language, which is changes which are needed in the bill if that amendment is adopted. They are not, none of those are substantive. The question before the body is whether or not every attorney who practices law in the state must be a member of the Alaska Bar Association. That boils it down to the question. That's the question you ask to vote on. The committee was strongly divided on this, and the final vote was 5-4. And I'm proposing an amendment because I think that's not in the best public interest. I might point out that, as far as I know, we do not require that doctors belong to the medical association, that architects and engineers belong to an association, that dentists belong to an association. We don't require that any of the professionals in the state belong to an association, but under present law, we do require that lawyers belong to an association. And so the amendment takes that away and puts that association as a voluntary membership like any other professional association.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, speaking in support of the amendment, my my recommendation to the body on the committee report was that we do not pass this legislation unless this amendment were adopted, and that's the amendment I was referring to in my committee report. The committee, in full committee, as the chairman of Judiciary indicated, we all agreed that we'd all have to be there in order to bring this particular amendment up, and it was hotly debated, and there are some of us, of course, that felt that there's really no requirement to have a mandatory that you, if you have to, in order to practice law in the state of Alaska, you have to be a member. I think a vast majority of practicing attorneys in the state of Alaska really don't care about the Alaska Bar Association one way or the other. I think if they had their druthers, they'd probably like to see the Alaska Bar Association sunsetted. And that was my position early on. And I had a lot of phone calls, a lot of correspondence, and a lot of from attorneys, practicing attorneys, who feel that the Alaska Bar Association is just an absolute total waste of time, that they really have, they serve no public interest, and they agree with my assessment that they should be sunsetted. However, there were members of the committee who felt that they ought to be given at least another year or two to correct some of the problems that that various members of the public have with their practices at this point in the administration of tests and in grievances and so forth. But my primary opposition to having a mandatory requirement that in order to practice you have to be a member of the bar is that it is another form of limited entry. We have a limited entry program in the fisheries. We have a lot of, you know, limited entry into owning a bar or a license or a permit to sell liquor and so forth. There are a lot of forms of limited entry in the state, and so I often wonder whether or not it is in the best interest to have a lot of these forms of restrictions that prevent people from practicing even though they are otherwise qualified. And I still see no reason why we have to have mandatory membership as a prerequisite to practicing law in the state of Alaska. And they still can't, you know, no one has convinced me that it is absolutely essential. So I thought a trade-off was, rather than having a sunset, we would adopt an amendment that where if you wanted to be an attorney in the state of Alaska, you did not have to be a member of the bar. All the arguments made in the committee were, in my opinion, very weak and shallow and really weren't that convincing. And that's why I maintain my position that we should not have a mandatory membership in the Bar Association. I would ask members to vote in favor of the amendment proposed by Representative Parr.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that has been pointed out that this whole question was a fairly close one in the Judiciary Committee. I think that before adopting the amendment, the members should consider again some of the points that are contained in the legislation or some of the operations of the Alaska Bar Association. It is true, Mr. Speaker, in the sunset review by the House Judiciary Committee that the committee uncovered a lot of difficulties and problems that people had with the Bar Association about how they administer and grade examinations as to whether the Bar Association was properly serving the public purpose for which it was created, and I think that a lot of those things are addressed in the legislation. Mr. Speaker, though, that the Alaska Bar Association is not like an association of realtors or something like that. It's set up and created as an agency or instrumentality of the state of Alaska. The Bar Association, under the bill, has the responsibility of determining whether a person is within the requirements set out in the law or the legislature. A person is or should be admitted to practice in the state of Alaska. The Bar Association consists of people, or the practice of law consists of people, that are, in effect, officers of the judicial branch of government. So I think that before deintegrating the Alaska Bar Association, which is what the amendment would do, that the members should keep those points in mind. It's a close question with me as to whether the Bar Association should be sunset or not, and whether we should should pass the bill out of committee. Speaker, in the final analysis, I think that probably the Bar Association is more likely to reflect the reflect public policy that people of the state are
agreeable with. If it is a creation of law rather than court rule, and that is an option, I think, that could occur if the legislature decides to sunset the Bar Association. But, Mr. Speaker, I think that the changes that are contained in the bill, including the expansion of public membership on the board, the rewriting of the requirements for eligibility for examination, and other changes that are made in the present law, will address the problems that have come up in the sunset review with the Bar Association. And I think that the change from an integrated bar association to a de-integrated bar, really, if we're going to make it, will require a substantial change in the whole approach of the bill itself and what the legislature wants the Bar Association to be. I think that the proposal that's contained in the House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 588, the House bill, is something that is going to be workable and is going to address many of the problems that come up. But I don't know what happens if you have a de-integrated bar, whether that will address those problems. And I would suggest that the members not adopt the amendment.
Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As was brought up by the other speakers, we have considered this bill quite a bit in many aspects of it. And the major point that I was extremely concerned about is a mandatory association, which I find completely contrary to freedom that we brag about in this country. If we were allowed to do this, perhaps we should reconsider our unions and other professional groups and other trade groups. And it just really shocked me to find out that of all groups that make it mandatory to associate with them, it should be professional law groups. Everyone had assumed, I'm sure, that if we have a problem with freedom, that someone is depriving us of our freedom, we should go to a lawyer, we should go to court, to wherever we can get justice at. But yet this very association is the epitome of stopping freedom because of mandatory requirements. And I think we've got to seriously consider this. Most of the testimony that we have and letters that we have, and I've saved them all here, were very negative towards the Bar Association. And we have over 1,400 lawyers within the state, and they are forced to belong before they can even practice. They charge a fee of $184 a year. That's an awful lot of money to demand from your people. So if we're going to allow it, I think we must consider the repercussions of this. Why shouldn't any other professional groups, our doctors, who are extremely important to us, make it mandatory that people pay their dues and become a member first? We see this in Sunset. The Commerce Committee has constantly fought various associations and groups that are turf protection. And here we find it in law. So I think we have a good opportunity to let freedom work within a major profession that we believe that we depend on for our freedom.
Representative Brown.
Speaker, I'm 1/14th of the Alaska Bar Association. However, I'm not of the view that I have a conflict of interest in addressing this matter because this doesn't affect my personal income one way or the other. I'm in and I'm licensed, and almost any change would probably not affect that one way or the other. Mr. Speaker, mandatory membership in the Alaska Bar Association was the idea of the 1955 legislature. Mandatory membership in the Bar Association is like being required to get a license from the Board of Medical Examiners to practice medicine, being required to get a license from the Real Estate Commission in order to be a real estate broker, and so forth. Using the word association may be confusing, but is not really anything at all like the private associations that are familiar in the other professions. For instance, I'm a member of the Institute of Electrical Electronics Engineers. That has absolutely nothing to do with any action of state government. It's a voluntary association. Mr. Speaker, of all, right now, most attorneys have indicated that they, although there are, well, you got a bunch of attorneys, somebody's always going to disagree, have indicated that they wish to remain in a mandatory association. if we remove the mandatory membership in the Alaska Bar Association, it's going to be very demoralizing for people who volunteer their time. Lawyers who take their time away from their law practice and work on projects involving continuing legal education, serving roles that help the state of Alaska in disciplinary committees and in many other functions. They're just going to say the heck with it, and they're going to stop. They're going to feel that there's nothing left to their association, and they're going to go do something else. And replacing all of that volunteer time and replacing that $1,400 times $180 a year for a nearly self-supporting regulatory body for a profession, the only one we have, the legislature only recently started putting in, I think now this year it's $60,000 to add to the disciplinary budget. All the rest of their budget comes from their own dues. That's not true of the other professions. They are nearly self-supporting, and they perform a much wider range of functions, both with regard to the profession and the public interest, than any one of the other professions that we reviewed in the last 2 years sitting on the Commerce Committee, for instance. Now, I have not been particularly politically popular in the last 6 years with the official position of the Alaska Bar Association. When you were chairman, Mr. Speaker, of the Judiciary Committee, and I proposed that they have lay members on the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association, they were ready to eat me alive. And I was rather unpopular in my own association for about a year after that, even going to lunch on Fridays. And there are many areas where I feel that the lawyers have made some mistakes. And I have disagreed with the position of the Alaska Bar Association on many other points with regard to this bill. But with regard to maintaining the mandatory membership, if that is taken away, that is going to destroy the work that has been going on in the recent years to try to make this into what looks to me, based on what I've seen as chairing Commerce for 2 years, looking at all of the other professions, and then sitting in Judiciary and listening to the Sunset Review, what is at least right now one of the most publicly responsive systems of regulating a profession that we have in the state of Alaska, and I urge the defeat of the amendment.
Representative Cotton.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Brown mentioned something that I noticed on page 2 there about the lay members on the Board of Governors, and I'm not sure who should get credit for it, but I also shared some of the blame for pushing that idea. I have a question. I wonder how much difference it makes. Who regulates the lawyers? If we take away mandatory membership in the association, who would, regulate that person who, if he didn't belong to the Bar Association? I suppose it would come under the court jurisdiction then. I'm not sure what the difference would be, but if some would belong and some wouldn't. I've heard the term disbarred, and I assume that means you get thrown out of the Bar Association. I'm not sure that's what that means, but I assume it ultimately means they can't practice law anymore. But in either case, either the court would decide that or the Bar Association would. I think I'm going to vote for the amendment. But I don't think that there's as much importance attached to it as some people seem to be putting.
Representative Eliason.
Speaker, I had one question I'd like to direct to the Chairman of Commerce. If, in effect, the attorneys are required to be a member of the Bar Association, when these same attorneys become judges, are they still required to be a member of the Bar Association?
Representative Brown.
Mr. Speaker, current statutes require that various judges, with I think one or two exceptions, be lawyers and therefore members of the Bar Association. Because don't be too confused, being member of the Bar Association under current law and since 1955 really is just a euphemism for being licensed to practice law in the state of Alaska under the current system. And I think, except for the amendment we put in the Court of Appeals bill with regard to the qualifications of district court judges, that is, very experienced magistrates can do it, and people at the magistrate level, all others are required to because they're required to be lawyers.
Representative Metcalf.
Mr. Speaker, throughout last summer, through my day-to-day private activities, I have a good deal of opportunity to interact with an awful lot of attorneys, largely because of the kind of business that I'm in. As most people do, when you talk to people, they bring up their political concerns. And I've been very surprised at the number of attorneys that have asked me privately and not wanted to be known for asking and known for promoting the idea that they think the Bar Association should be sunsetted. And it's very obvious to me that there's a very large number of people who don't particularly want it known to the Bar Association. They'd love to see it thrown out. And for that reason, I'm going to support the amendment simply because it's obvious to me that there's an awful lot of attorneys who belong to the Bar Association who wish they didn't have to. And the sunset issue aside, but that one thing did come through fairly clear from the associations and the discussions. Thank you.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Mr. Speaker, the Sunset Report on the Bar Association is in Journal Supplement 29, if anybody wants to look at it. But it was signed by all members of the committee, and I would like to only read a very brief section. In some ways, one of the most disturbing revelations was the extent to which attorneys form a closed corporation. The association comprises all attorneys in the state. Only its members may practice law. It is in charge of admissions to the bar and of discipline of its members. It nominates the three attorneys to sit on a judicial council, which in turn sends judgeship nominees to the governor. Judges must themselves be attorneys, and the association furnishes 9 members of the board of directors of Alaska Legal Services Corporation. Only in a disciplinary hearing and attorney fee review committees is any lay presence. There seems to be at present no provision for the exercise of supervisory responsibility by the elected representatives of the people. Mr. Speaker, the amendment does not rectify completely that situation, but I think it is a step in the right direction. I urge the members to support it.
Representative Barnes.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think I probably was the fifth vote on the Judiciary Committee, and I think in fairness to the members of my party, after having listened to some of the comments on the floor today, that I tell them of my position on this particular bill. In the beginning of the hearings and the deliberation, I felt that perhaps it was the proper thing to do to use the word may instead of shall. As we progressed through the hearings, after having listened to much testimony and talking to many members of the bar profession, the legal profession, I believe that I am the person with the fifth vote that switched to shall be a member. And that is because, unlike what many people have said here on the floor today, most attorneys that contacted me were very opposed to having their association be one of a non-mandatory membership. Thank you.
Representative Randolph.
Mr. Speaker, I want to say a few words on this. I heard Mr. Anderson say that we ought not to have limited entry. We ought to have a free market in these things. And we've talked a lot about the whole sunset procedure due to this amendment. I'm going to vote for the amendment because I think it's heading in the right direction. But let's not kid ourselves 1 minute that we're freeing up the system. That attorney that doesn't have to be a member of the Bar Association is still going to have to jump through all the same hoops that he has to, whether or not he's a member of the Bar Association. The whole sunset scenario, I've said several times this before, and I'll just say it once more because it seems like a good opportunity to do it, is where sunset only deals with the board or the commission. It doesn't do away with any of the statutory authority. And we're not in any way freeing up the system by doing away with the board or an association if they have to jump through all the same hoops. And I don't think, I agree with another speaker who said that it really wasn't that big a deal. And I don't think it is that big a deal, although it is a small step in the right direction.
Question for the House is the adoption of Amendment Number 1. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
21 yeas, 15 nays.
Amendment has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a short at ease?
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Will the clerk please read the next amendment on Senate Bill 588?
Amendment number 2 by Branson. Page 4, line 29. delete the judiciary committees of.
Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection. Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't see any reason why reports to the legislature should be directed to any one particular committee as specified in the law. I think the Speaker can take care of pipelining the reports, and before you know it, all reports from all areas would be going to specific committees, and there wouldn't be a legislature of as the whole. And I just think it's a good amendment.
Representative Anderson.
One of the problems that the legislature had last year, and I think the chairman of the Judiciary Committee could correct me if I'm wrong, but we did have some trouble getting reports from the bar, and I think there was tremendous litigation when there were inquiries made on certain records and so forth, that we needed to make some determinations on whether or not we should sunset or extend or make modifications in their practices. And I think that litigation is still outstanding at this point in time. I don't think there's been an agreement, but the report puts it into statute so that it's clear that a report be made to someone in the legislature so that we don't go through the same problem of trying to extract information from that body who thinks that they are a separate branch of government and they're not responsible to anybody. I think there was a question on whether or not, and I think one of the arguments made by the bar was that they don't have to make that kind of reporting to the legislature, and of course there were some who felt they should. But I think the language is necessary, and I would hope that we don't amend this section of the bill.
Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, I don't feel strongly on the issue of specifying judiciary committees, and as members know, I don't expect to be chairing the Judiciary Committee of this House next year. But one point that might be made, that we passed through a bill or a resolution a couple of years ago in order to avoid having all members get huge stacks of paper on their desk. Every agency in the state was making reports, and it was so much paper, and members objected. So the procedure was established that only one copy of a report, I guess, goes to Legislative Affairs Agency, and then they send some kind of notice around, which you may or may not see, and you might not get a copy of the report. And it's really purely because of that change in the procedure that I think it's desirable to have it specified that those reports come to the Judiciary Committee. And many reports that the older members will remember, we used to get automatically. Every member got them. We don't anymore. They come one copy to Legislative Affairs Agency, and that's where it stops, or maybe it's the library, I'm not sure. But somebody gets it, and we don't even see them. This way, we do make sure at least that the appropriate committees of each body do get to see those reports.
Mr. Speaker, could we have a brief at ease, please?
Will the House please come back to order? Representative Branson.
Mr. Speaker, I don't think I'm addressing the mechanics of delivering reports to committees or to anybody else. What I'm talking about is preserving the integrity of the body in the legislature. I don't think the committees have any standing under law, and as far as the majority leader's argument that they had to enter into litigation, the committees does not have the right to enter into litigation. I'm not going to rag this around all afternoon, but I would move the motion and ask for unanimous consent again.
Question for the House, Amendment Number 2, Representative Brown.
It's not that big a deal, but of course the committees have a legal status. I think that's been recognized. There's certain things we can and can't do, but our uniform rules are as much law as anything else under the constitutional framework. Our charters are the Constitution first, Title 24 second, and our uniform rules, and that's recognized by the courts. That's not why I'm going to vote against the amendment. I think that we have so many reports running around here that we're not quite sure where they're supposed to go sometimes, and I think the language in the committee bill should remain.
Question for the House, adoption amendment number 2. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative O'Connell? Are there other members? Representative Halford? Clerk may take final roll.
21 yeas, 13 nays.
Amendment number 2 has been adopted. Are there further amendments?
Yes, Mr. Speaker.
Clerk, please read the next amendment.
Amendment number 3 by Mr. Eliason. Page 10, line 5, add new section to 3950-200 SS, Alaska Bar Association Board of Governors.
Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment and ask unanimous consent.
There is objection, Representative Eliason.
Mr. Speaker, this requires that this particular body file conflict of interest reports. The Commission on Judicial Qualification does. Governor's Commission on Administration of Justice files one. And so does Alaska Judicial Council, so I believe the Bar Association should also.
Is there objection? The amendment maintained. There's no objection. The amendment is adopted. Are there further amendments?
No, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Ms. Speaker. I do have another amendment, if I could brief at ease.
Clerk, the House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Will the clerk please read the amendment?
Amendment number 4 by Mr. Malone. Page 4, line 29. After the words, report annually to the, insert the presiding officers of the.
Representative Malone.
Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent for the adoption of the amendment.
Is there objection? There's no objection. Amendment number 4 is adopted. Are there further amendments?
Not on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that House Committee substitute for Senate Bill number 580 amended by the House be considered engrossed, advanced to third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Bill 588 will be advanced third reading. Will the clerk please read the bill in third reading?
House Committee substitute for Senate Bill 588 amended by the House by the Rules Committee. An act continuing the existence of the Board of Governors of the Alaska Bar Association and amending the statutes relating to the practice of law in the state. Amending Alaska State Supreme Court Bar Rules 27 and 62 and providing for an effective date.
Quit. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, a question on page 9, lines 8, 9, and 10. There's some new language that says, a hearing shall be granted to an applicant denied certification if his score on the bar examination is within 5 points of the passing grade of the bar examination. I'm wondering, Mr. Speaker, what the rationale is for that, if that is consistent with the examination score on other professional boards. One I have in mind is one that I'm affected by, which is the Board of Engineers and Architect Examiners. I'm just wondering if that's consistent or if there's some particular reason.
Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. As previously been indicated, there was more concern, more criticism of the system of giving bar examinations than of any other single thing. Part of the examination, Mr. Speaker, is an essay-type examination, and as anyone who's ever tried to grade those knows, that's about the most subjective grading you can possibly get. And I want to give the Bar Association credit. They have tried to improve on their grading of those sections. However, it's very easy for the essay part only to make a person drop down to 68.5 instead of 70. And the Bar Association is a Board of Governors has a procedure for hearings, but they've been very reluctant in some cases to grant those hearings. And this gives the applicant who may have lost that the 2-3 points because of that subjective grading at least a chance for a hearing before the Board of Governors. It doesn't guarantee him that they'll change the grade at all.
Representative Barnes. House, please stand at ease. We've got to get it over. Will the House please come back to order? Question for the House is final passage of Senate Bill 588. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, if I interpret the remarks of the Judiciary Chairman, this is not consistent with the language in some of the other bills we've had before us relating to the continuing the existence of various other entities that that licensed for various practices in the state. I happen to know that the Board of Engineers and Architect Examiners, which gives the test for licensing in three parts or more, also gives essay-type questions. And so I'm wondering, Mr. Chairman, why that wasn't addressed with the Board of Engineers and Architect Examiners. Why would it be any different for somebody passing the bar than somebody being admitted to practice architecture or engineering? In fact, I would think there'd be less reason for somebody in the legal profession, because it's recognized that law is not an exact science, and I think that certainly that, you know, that's the accepted way. I know we have the same type of questions in the examinations that we have for architects and engineers, and that deal with non-specific points. And I just want to bring up the issue that it's not consistent.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I just want to put members on notice that I don't intend to vote for this bill. Just in case anybody got the impression that I may be voting for it because it was amended, they shouldn't have that impression. It was amended, first of all, too much, but it was a lousy piece of legislation anyway. And, I still believe that these rascals should be disintegrated or terminated or phased out of business or whatever. But anyway, if anybody's counting, you know, that if they're thinking I'm going to be the 21st vote to save their behinds, please erase that from your whatever you use, think with. But I'm not going to vote for it. This, you know, the more debate we have on this thing, the more it conjures up all the reasons why I think they ought to be sunsetted. So probably be in the best interest of those people, if they want this thing to survive, not to say another word, because I will get up and I will point by point go through the reasons why this organization should be sunsetted, and I am certain that I will be able to convince enough members to kill this bill. So anyway, please don't prolong the agony. I got a headache. I want to go home this afternoon, take a nap, and you know, we have no business being here until 3:45 anyway. So, you know, let's get with it and just kill the bill.
Representative Malone.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think that the points raised by Representative Hayes are a good point about the hearing on examination, and it probably would be a good idea to incorporate similar provisions regarding other state examinations. I think perhaps in that regard, this particular piece of sunset legislation may be a lot better than some which has already passed the House. Mr. Speaker, in the sunset review of the Alaska Bar Association, I think you can tell from the differences of opinion of the committee members who were engaged in the work, there were a lot of reasons put forward why the Bar Association perhaps should be sunset. And this bill proposes to continue the Bar Association. Mr. Speaker, I think that a lot of the reasons are addressed in the legislation. A lot of the reasons have been brought to the attention of the members of the Bar Association. And I think that to that extent, be corrective measures taken, or there are being corrective measures taken in this legislation to resolve complaints and worries about the operation of the Bar Association. But I think that there's another point here that I'd like the members to consider, and I think it's an important one. If the Bar Association is not regulated by law, it's very likely that the Integrated Bar Act could be simply incorporated in the court rules. So there we would have, in effect, an agency of the state government within the judicial branch, and having no statutes controlling that agency, the judicial branch would adopt court rules which are the equivalent of the statute in areas that are covered by the courts. Mr. Speaker, I think that it's a public policy is better served by keeping the Bar Association
as a creation of law, and making that association then responsible to the public of Alaska, people of Alaska, through their elected representatives in the legislature, rather than their elected representatives on the court bench, because I think the electoral process, the districts and so forth, make it much more responsive to be regulated by law. And I would urge the members to adopt the bill and continue to press for any changes they think are necessary. But I think that once this goes over, or if it does go over, to be a function carried out by the court system, the legislature is not going to have much to say about it.
Question for the House, final passage of Senate Bill 588. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
26 yeas, 7 nays.
Senate Bill 588 has passed the House. Representative Anderson.
Did we have 27 votes, Mr. Speaker?
No, we're 26.
Lacking 27 votes, I move the effective date clause.
Question before the House is the effective date clause in Senate Bill 588. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll. Representative Bettesworth, vote's not registered. Will the clerk take final roll?
31 yeas, 3 nays.
The effective date clause has been adopted. Representative Meekins.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to waive, excuse me, referral of HCR 75, HB 1039, and SB 301 from the Finance Committee. The first two are on related to Alpetco, and the last one is avalanche warning.
Those bills, will finance referral will be waived. Representative Parr.
Mr. Speaker, very brief at ease.
House, please stand at ease. Will the House please come back to order? Representative Parr.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I move to adopt the court rule changes in the bill that's on page 9, bottom of the page.
It does take 27 votes to adopt court rule change. The question for the House is the court rule changes in Senate Bill 588. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Vosterbeck? Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
35 yeas, 1 nay.
Court rule changes have been adopted. Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I wish to serve notice of reconsideration of my vote for Senate Bill 588.
Notice of reconsideration is noted. Clerk, please read the next item.
Senate Joint Resolution Number 38, amended by Kurtula, Coletta, Stimson, and Bradley, relating to the development of a commuter railroad in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley. The Committee on State Affairs has had Senate Joint Resolution 38 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass. The report was signed by Mr. Miller, Chairman, concurred in by Parker, Fuller, Metcalf, Gardner, and Eliason. Having no recommendation, Martin and Miller. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 amended be considered engrossed in advance of third reading and placed on final passage.
There's no objection. Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 will be engrossed in advance of third reading and placed on final passage. Will clerk please read the resolution in third reading?
Senate Joint Resolution Number 38 amended by Kurtula, Coletta, Stimson, and Bradley, relating to the development of a commuter railroad in the Matanuska-Susitna Valley.
Question for the House, the final passage of Senate Joint Resolution Number 38. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Clerk may take final roll.
31 yeas, 2 nays.
Senate Joint Resolution 38 has passed the House. Clerk, please read the next item.
Committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66 by the Finance Committee, directing the Alaska Legislative Council to revise AS 29, Municipal Government. The Committee on Finance has had committee substitute for Senate Concurrent Resolution 66 under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it do pass and attaches a new fiscal note. The report was signed by Mr. Freeman, Vice Chairman, concurred in by Freeman, Duncan, Moss, Smith, Haugen, Montgomery, and Rogers. I have no amendments on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
The question for the House, the final passage of Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66. Members may proceed to vote. Has any member failed to vote? Clerk may lock the roll. Do any members wish to change their votes? Representative Duncan? Are there other members? Clerk may take final roll.
30 yeas, 3 nays.
Senate Concurrent Resolution Number 66 has passed the House. Representative Anderson?
Mr. Speaker, I intend to move all the citations in one motion unless there's objection.
Representative Eliason?
Mr. Speaker, I'd move and ask unanimous consent that the citation honoring Attorney General be sponsored by all members of the House.
Is there objection? Hearing no objection, there is objection. Would those members who wish to have their
Mr. Speaker, I'll withdraw that motion.
Okay. Representative Rogers.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. Would the clerk please show me as a co-sponsor the citation honoring Avram Gross?
Will those members who do not wish to have their name added as a co-sponsor raise their hand? I assume the other members who did not raise their hand will be added as co-sponsors. Representative Hayes.
Mr. Speaker, I just a point of order. I think the maker of the motion withdrew the motion. Mr. Speaker, the reason I rose to my feet was I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that I be shown as a sponsor on the citation honoring Kay Linton.
Representative Hayes will be shown as a co-sponsor on that resolution. Are there other members that wish to be on that? Representative Barnes, Representative Parker, Representative Munson, Representative Montgomery. Are there any other additions of Representative Miles? Any other members on any other citation? Representative Meekins? Was that on the Kay Linton one? Representative Guy? Representative Guy will be added to that citation. Representative Elias.
We have a brief at ease.
Will the House please come back to order?
Mr. Speaker.
Representative Miles.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent the citation honoring Av Gross be held over one legislative day.
There's no objection. Citation will be held over one legislative day. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to move and ask unanimous consent that all members of the House co-sponsor the citation honoring Eleanor Frade. She does represent the whole state, sir, and I think she's an outstanding example of the youth of our state.
Which citation is that?
22nd Spelling Bee winner. It's the last one in your packet, sir.
If there's no objection, all members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors on that citation. Representative Jaroff.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I'd like to be shown as a sponsor on the citation honoring Saul Urey, please.
There's no objection. Representative Jaroff, Representative Guy, Brown will be.
Guy.
Meekins, Osterbeck. Representative.
Wait a minute, you're not going.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I'd like to be shown as a co-sponsor on the citation commending Johnny Collingsworth.
Those members who wanted to be co-sponsors for the citation honoring Saul Urey, raise their hands.
Oh.
Does anybody have enough intelligence to stand up?
Mr. Speaker, yes.
I do. Buckled?
If you don't mind, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House be shown as sponsoring this citation for Mr. Urey.
Which one?
I ask unanimous consent. This is for Sol Urey.
There's no objection. All members of the House will be shown as co-sponsors on that citation. Representative Anderson.
With the exception of Bill Miles, really serious about that other one. Really?
No.
You're not serious? I move and ask unanimous consent that all the citations appearing on today's calendar be adopted. Ask unanimous consent.
There's no objection. Citations will be adopted. That brings us to Senate Bill 239. Will the clerk please read the bill by title?
Committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 239 amended by the Judiciary Committee, an act relating to alcoholic beverages and providing for an effective date. The Committee on Judiciary has had committee substitute for sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 239 amended under consideration. A majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for the bill and recommends individual recommendations. The report was signed by Mr. Parr, Chairman, signing DuPass, Brown, Anderson, Martin, and Malone. Signing DuPass if amended, Parr. Signing no recommendation, Barnes and Phillips. The Committee on Finance has had the bill under consideration, and a majority of the committee recommends it be replaced with House Committee substitute for Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 239, Finance, and reports it back with individual recommendations and attaches two physical notes. The report was signed by Mr. Meekins, Chairman, signing DuPass, Meekins, Duncan, and Moss, having no recommendation, McKinnon, Rogers, Guy, and Montgomery. I have two committee substitutes on my desk, Mr. Speaker.
Representative Anderson.
Mr. Speaker, I move and ask unanimous consent that the House Finance Committee substitute for Sponsor substitute for Senate Bill 239 be adopted in lieu of the original bill.
There's no objection. Finance Committee substitute will be adopted. Clerk, please read the First Amendment.
Amendment number one by Mr. Martin. It starts page 12, line 9, change 19 to 21. There's the same change on the rest of these lines. Page 55, line 21, line 16, 17, 22, 24, 25, and 28. That's all change 19 to 21. Page 56, wherever 19 is, delete it and insert 21. Page 57, wherever 19 is, delete and insert 21.
Representative Martin.
Mr. Speaker, I move the amendment.
There is objection. Representative Martin.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. So the other day, about 2 days ago, we heard the representative from the Finance Committee give us a many statistics of a general nature, very startling fact of alcohol problems throughout our state. Now, what this amendment does, though, is ask the legislators to take direct action on a very critical matter. The legislators in 1975 did lower the age to consume alcohol, and this was done without any public knowledge. I shouldn't say public knowledge, but without any public vote or even an advisory vote.
Representative Cotton.
Mr. Speaker, I was in the legislature in 1975, and I know that that's not a true statement, that the legislature took that action then, so I just thought I'd clear that up for the Speaker's information.
I think nevertheless, sir, the matter is very important. We should consider it. If I may, I'd like to read just a few paragraphs from the State Department of Health and Social Services pertaining to alcoholism. And if the body would bear with me, I think that the facts given will make them realize that the sooner we take action on this, the better off this state will be. During the period of 1970 to 75, 27 states, including Alaska, lowered the minimum drinking age for alcohol consumption. However, in 1976, we saw a reversal of this trend, beginning with Minnesota, that raised the minimum age. And since that time, sir, 8 other states have raised the drinking age. Now, a key factor in these states' decisions to raise ages again has been the experience of sharp increases in alcoholic-related highway accidents and fatalities that have coincided with the reduction of the drinking age. For instance, Massachusetts has found that the traffic fatalities involving drinking teenagers nearly tripled in the years following the lowering of the age for consumption. That is a very tragic phenomenon to allow to continue. The Alaska experience, and they relate here to all ages, but let me zero in strictly on the youth, sir. Youth of Alaska are not immune for ill effect of alcoholism and alcoholic abuse. For example, the state alcohol plan estimates that over 7,000 of Alaska's youth are problem drinkers. Later on, they go to say that the department finds juvenile arrest for driving under the influence of alcohol or liquor law violation or public drunkenness ranges from 52% in Bethel and 49% in Juneau